Let's go back a little bit to about the first or second song during praise and worship. Boy, that all of a sudden it started getting all over me. And by the way, by the time praise and worship was over, I was almost drunk in the spirit. Just like, woozy. Wow. You know, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell on the 3,000 people in Jerusalem, all the religious people of the day and the world around them said they must be drunk. They're acting like they're drunk. And Peter got up and he said, they're not drunk as you suppose. But this is that the prophet Joel spoke about when the Holy Spirit would fall on people. And sometimes when we're in the presence of God, you might realize you feel like you're getting tipsy, woozy. Well, that's a type of pure drunkenness. Now, you can get drunk on alcohol or dope, and that's not a pure drunkenness. That's a brain-deleting drunkenness. But God has a way of settling us down and relaxing us into that place where we can get a little tipsy. And just go with it, man. Enjoy the high. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of it. Amen? Anyway, we sang that song, He Left the 99. And I started weeping because the Lord took me back in memory of my own personal testimony. And I was a little boy raised in church, and I gave my heart to the Lord at an early age and had many beautiful experiences in the Lord. Had a lot of rebellion in my heart, and everything that Mama and Daddy and the preacher said, you can't do that, I wondered why. So I checked it out. And that's not good. I checked out things I should have never checked out, and I'm still regretting it today. But I was a rebellious type, and if they said, you can't do that, I'd watch. I will do that. Find out why you said I couldn't do it. That was just part of my personality, and praise God I've been delivered from that. But I've suffered a lot and made other people suffer because of it. But I realized in this song, I realized that even though I was raised as a Christian, I had my rebellious times and times when I went away from God and went into sin and played games with the devil's tricks, and I became lost. The Lord never left me, and He was always there beckoning me and wooing me, but I would leave Him purposely to go find out what was going on in the sin world. I was curious. Don't do that. It'll cost you dearly. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so you don't want to play with sin until it kills you. But I realized I was lost, and in my memory I remember being lost, and then I remember He left the 99 and He came and found me. And it's really touched my heart, and every time we would sing that stanza of He left the 99, it's like I remembered He came and got me, Barbara. He came and got me. People like my faithful wife, my faithful mother, and many others who loved me spent a lot of time in prayer backing up what the Lord wanted to do in my life. And I just thank you, Lord, that you left the 99 and came and got me. He came and found me. I apologize for if I cough, because I probably will. I'm much better now, but I've had quite a bronchial cough for a couple of weeks, and it's, praise the Lord, it's passing. So if I hand a microphone to Barbara, it's probably because I need to stop and cough. Won't you? I'm better, healed by the Lord in Jesus' name. Better by the moment, all the way to perfection. Did He come and get you? Did He leave the 99 to come and get you? Were you ever lost? Maybe, you know, maybe even as a Christian, you were still saved in the sense that you knew the Lord, had experienced Him personally. And, you know, if you one time make that one time commitment to Him, He never forgets it, and He won't let you forget it. But just, you know, think about it for your own personal life. Did He come and get you? Did He come and find you when you were lost? And you need to just take a moment and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Good Shepherd, for coming to get me when I was lost. We have a theme this year. Exalt Jesus, receive miracles. And we need miracles, guys. We need miracles. What is a miracle? Simply put, a miracle is something you need that you can't get on your own. You need God's help for it to happen. Something in your life you need and you don't know how to get there. Well, God can do a miracle because He knows how to get there. And when He brings you to that point of deliverance or meeting your need in whatever the sense would be, that's a miracle because you couldn't handle it yourself. And so He miraculously intervenes in your behalf and brings forth miracles. Amen. And I believe that when the Lord gave me this particular motto for the year, exalt Jesus and receive miracles, I believe it was much more than just four words. It was the Lord saying, I want to do miracles, and here is the key. Here is the key to the miracles that I want to do in your midst. Exalt Jesus. And I've been studying lately on how do we exalt Jesus, and I've come up with synonyms such as exalt Jesus, magnify Jesus, honor Jesus, glorify Jesus, praise Jesus, worship Jesus, put Jesus first. You know, you can come up with a lot of synonyms. But exalting the Lord is just so important. Jesus made a statement of his own life and ministry at one point. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Now, first of all, he was talking about him being raised up on the cross of Calvary. And that draws all men to him. And for everyone, that's why it's so important that we share the word and share the revelation with the world that he has been raised up on that cross of Calvary, and he has died for your sins. And because he died for your sins, God no longer holds your sins against you. Come to Jesus. Be saved. Be delivered. Be set free. But I also see it as fitting, that scripture as fitting with our theme for the year, exalting Jesus. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. So as we exalt Jesus, as we glorify the Lord as a church corporately and as individuals, as we exalt Jesus and lift him up and lift up his name, lift up all that he is, lift up all that he has ever been to us, give praise and testimony to what he's done in our lives. As we exalt the Lord, he's going to draw men to himself. He's going to draw men into the church and into the kingdom as we build him up and lift him up and lift up his name and the testimony of who he is. I want to look at a couple of scriptures, and I don't have them on the screen for you, so just turn in your Bible app. Turn in your Bible app to Exodus 15:2. I'll do it the old-fashioned way with this book here. Exodus My dad is extremely old-fashioned, being 95 years old. But he's the kind of guy, he was old-fashioned when he was 15. But he's starting to notice that people don't bring Bibles to church anymore, and boy, does this bother him. I said, Dad, most of them have their Bible on their phone now. Well, I noticed they're talking on the phone all the time during church. I said, no, they're not talking on the phone. They're reading the Bible app that's on their phone. And he's having kind of a hard time grasping that. But I guess we need to move up, go ahead and move up to the modern world and learn to use the phone to read our Bible. Don't quit bringing your book, okay? I still bring mine. But it's okay to have both, right, Mitch? He's got his tablet out. Amen. Did I say Exodus 15:2? The Lord is my strength and my song. And he has become my salvation, and he is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. Exalting the Lord. Exalting the Lord. This was Moses. We spend a lot of time praising the Lord for David and how he taught us to exalt the Lord. But you know, this whole chapter 15 is a song that Moses wrote. And by the way, some of the psalms that we attribute most of them to David, Moses wrote some of those. How about that? There's about four or five different authors of the book of Psalms. It's not all David. But Moses was one that exalted the Lord. And he goes on in the song talking about all the things the Lord did to deliver the children of Israel. He had reason to exalt the Lord, for he had seen the great, mighty moves of the Lord. You know, the people of Israel were in Egypt 470 years under slavery. I can't even imagine 470 years, much less being under slavery that long. But God used Moses to bring forth deliverance, and they were set free from that slavery and taken out of Egypt and taken to a promised land where they could build their own nation. And so Moses knew some things about exalting the Lord, and he knew some things about the reward of exalting the Lord. In Moses, if you read Genesis and Exodus and all those early books, the first five books of the Bible, talks a lot about Moses and his experiences with the people of Israel and experiences with God. And every time people of Israel would get in trouble by playing around with sin or something, if Moses could get them over to the place where they would exalt the Lord and praise the Lord, deliverance would come. And then that follows throughout the Old Testament as you go through all the various judges, the various kings that ruled over Israel. You know, Israel was so famous, like a lot of us, they're always getting in trouble. And the Lord would have to get them out. But when they begin to exalt the Lord, begin to see him and praise him as deliverer and savior, he would pull them up out of that miry clay, out of that junk, and he would set their feet on a rock to stay. Amen? And looking then at, by the way, I'm in the New King James, if you're wondering which version I'm in for your Bible app. And in 1 Samuel 2:10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces, and from heaven he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he'll give strength to his king. And by the way, this king he's talking about is Jesus. And he will exalt the horn of his anointed. His anointed is Jesus. If you wonder, if your version like mine reads exalting the horn, you wonder, what do you mean? Like a, What kind of a horn? A cow horn? A bull horn? A trumpet horn? What kind of a horn are we talking about? Well, this is an old term that is better translated strength or power. He will exalt the power of his anointed. He will exalt the strength of his anointed. The Lord wants to be exalted. He longs to be exalted. Here in this particular verse, in the last part, I'll exalt the power or the horn of his anointed. He's talking about exalting Jesus, his anointed one. He's talking about an anointing that is to be exalted, to be praised, to be lifted up. The Lord longs to be exalted. And he is so worthy of all exaltation. One of the ways we can exalt the Lord is to give a personal testimony of what he's done in your life. And I want us to take the next few minutes, each and every one of us, to think. Would you take a minute with me to think? So I didn't come to church to think. I came to church to listen. No. I want you to think. I want you to think about what the Lord's recently done in your life that you can give him praise for. And then I want you to be just as bold as gold. And I want you to get up and come up here and stand with me, and I'm going to share the microphone with you. And I want you to share with us what the Lord's been doing in your life. I want you to exalt the Lord. He commands us. He pleads with us to exalt him. I've got numerous scriptures here in my notes where he wants us to exalt the Lord. And I felt the Holy Spirit told me 2 or 3 days ago to give the people this morning opportunity to exalt me with their own praise, with their own praise report, with their own way of exalting him. The Lord has done this for me. The Lord has done something else for me. I want you to just think about that, and then just, you know, don't wait for me to say you or you or you. Just start allowing yourself to lift up out of your seat and come up here and share with us. There's nothing dangerous up here. There's no poison ivy. I don't bite.
Good morning. For many years, I've been a businessman, but for all these years, I haven't had a formal job. But I'm impressed with the God. Everything he's done for me. I became debt-free. No mortgage, no car payments, no nothing. And he provides every day everything that I need. I'm a more healthy man right now. I'm a more prosperous man. I'm in peace. And he provides everything. And it's not my will. It's his will. Thank you.
Many of you know that I was a single mom, found this church, raised my kids here in this church, and took care of my mom along with taking care of my kids for 15 years. And I felt like I lived no life, had no life. And she passed away just 2 years ago, and I didn't know what I was going to do to pay my bills or what I would do at my age for myself. My kids were gone. My mom was gone. And the Lord offered me a job. They offered me a job at the nursing home, and I love it. It's my new family. It's everything to me, and he provided that. And I love those people. I love those people. They needed me. God was grooming me for that job. And now I want to stay there the next 20 years. So what the heck? That was all from God.
You know, Rosie, if you stay there long enough, you'll be old enough to be one of them. You may never leave that place.
Okay, I shared this with the pastors. This happened Monday, so recent. I was in Agua Prieta at a very large drug rehabilitation center, and I led a good amount of men to the Lord, and one of the men drew me aside. He says, "I got to talk to you," and he says, "I want to be a disciple. Can I be a disciple?" And I asked him, I said, "Did you accept the Lord?" And he said, "Yes, I did. I have the Lord in my heart." And he said, "But I was a disciple of Satan for years." And I said, "The Lord will take you." And I just want to let you know that we hear lots of bad news, but I'm going to tell you, the Lord is much more powerful than that. And a Satan worshiper can be led into the kingdom and become a powerful disciple. I wanted to share that.
Amen. Exalt the Lord.
Morning, y'all. God is good? And all the time? I got a couple things to share. First, I want to say that, you know, there are times in our lives where, well, in my life, I'll tell you, that I went to a fairly expensive college, and I have a lot of debt, and I have a house and car payments and kids and things like that, so finances are a little bit tight sometimes, but I'll tell you what, when it doesn't look like there's going to be enough to pay the bills, God comes through, amen? And I just want to give praise to that, because it never has there been a real big issue about finances. It always seems to work out. And I praise God for that. Amen. Second thing is this. In my own personal life, I've been praying for a little bit of direction with my life and which way to go and which way to go and here and there. There's been some job opportunities, other places that I could have gone to and do other things. And I've been praying for direction. And I believe that lately I have been given direction by the Lord. And so I just want to praise God for that direction. And it has yet to come fully in my mind, but I know which way I got to go. Amen? Which is good. And so praise God for that. It was really stressful for that for me to know exactly what I need to do in my life. And I don't know where you're at in your life, but I asked God millions of times, and I felt like there was no answer. But just when I needed the answer, just when I needed the answer, God came through. Praise God for that. The third thing is, I've been at school. I'm a school teacher and athletic trainer, and I've been praying for God to open opportunities to talk to kids. As a school teacher, you're not supposed to converse with students about religion, about God, unless they bring up a question or a topic. Then you can do whatever you want. So I'm always kind of praying, like, God, just get these kids interested and let something happen, or let something that I do kind of spark their questions. And I tell you what, the past 2 weeks, there has been more questions about God and the relationship with Jesus Christ than in my 13 years at the high school. And so I praise God for that, that now is the time for the harvest, and it's coming. It's coming in. I praise God for that. Amen? Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. You've been out to high school for 13 years? This is your 13th year at Douglas High. Well, time flies when you're having fun. Come on, Ivan.
What's God been doing in your life? Good morning, everyone. Well, if you guys don't know, I'm a senior this year. So, I've been praying a lot about which way I should go. You know, every day I look around and I hear some of my friends saying, "Oh, I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that." You know, and the devil, he attacks me so much, almost every day, about this one thing. And it's like, if you go this path, it's going to be easier for you. Maybe you should just do this normal job and hey, easier money. I'm starting to think about, you know, my future and where I should go and what I should do. But I feel this really strong calling to live for God. And you know, it's hard because you see your friends and they have so many plans already done, but are those their plans or is it God's plans? And sometimes I feel like I want something, but is it what I need? But just yesterday we were here and God just reminds me of how good He is when we live for Him. And we were having a meeting here, the New Generation Bible Club, you guys know? At the high school. We started that 4 years ago, but we had a meeting here yesterday around like 9 o'clock. And we got together. We're planning for the new year, you know, that this new year. And we just started worshiping, you know, becoming sensitive to what God has to say about what we have to do this year. And just people just started getting into the spirit. People started just praying out loud and things just moved so smoothly and everything that we were planning and everything God was telling us to do. And when every time that happens, it just reminds me of who I live for and what the results are when you live for God. When you put everything aside, when you put yourself aside and you put God first, that's when you start seeing results, and that's what really matters, because that gift that you give to the youth, that gift that you give to people, is not just for when you're on this earth, it's eternal. We can get everything we want here on this earth, our house, beautiful house. There's nothing wrong with having that. A car, you know, beautiful car. Everything that you would possibly want. But those things don't last forever. I heard once, when you live for God, you have to remember that what's on this earth, you can't take it with you. You can't. But something that you can give is God and His word. That's eternal. When you save a soul, that's eternal. And it's just, that's been happening in my life, and God has blessed me so much with a great group of kids and myself included. And God is doing things, and just remember to live for God, and there's nothing better than that. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Ivan, when I was in the year between 11th grade and 12th grade, our choir traveled and we sang. And I heard this man get up and speak, and he was the president of a Bible college. And God said, "Charles, that's where I want you to go." My 12th grade year lasted forever. I wanted to go to Bible college so bad. And all of my schoolmates, all my classmates were saying, "Oh man, this year's just flying by." And my year lasted forever, but I finally got to go, and it was a real blessing to go. But about, for me, what's happening in our life, about 4 weeks ago, I had a dream, and I woke up, and you know how when you wake up, you have a dream, you remember it for just a few minutes, and then it's gone, and you tell somebody the next day about it. Now, I can't remember all the details, but this dream, I can tell you exactly every detail I had in that dream. Today is when I had it the morning I woke up. And I've been praying, "Lord, there's something here And I want the interpretation because it didn't just pass away. And so the Lord's been dealing with me, and he gave me the interpretation yesterday of what's going to happen. And we haven't told any of you guys because we still don't know what's going to take place. But the Lord's been dealing with us to retire. I've got 27 and a half years in with the government now, and retire, and Lord's going to provide a trailer and a truck to pull it with, and we're going to go around and share the word wherever people have a share. And I don't share, as you know, normally when I get up and speak, like most pastors and speakers do. Instead, I have a teaching ministry, and I have to teach and bring people into the understanding the way I see the word. But we think that's what the Lord's going to do with us. And he's going to provide every single thing. And we even know his timetable to a point. And so it's going to be really cool how it works out. But the Lord's going to do it all. And we're not worried about it at all. He's going to work every detail out to his glory. And I shared with Leo a while ago, this is something totally different. This is a message for today, but for me. But I was in a bathroom a couple days ago, and it said, if you could see the germs on your hands, you would wash your hands. You know how they have signs that say, you know, employees must wash hands. I can never find an employee that'll wash my hands for me, but it said, if you could see the germs on your hands, you'd wash your hands. And this morning, the thought came to me, if we could see the sin in our life, how we would repent. Yeah, we'd not only be scrubbing our hands, we'd be scrubbing our whole body if we could. But that was just the coolest thought to me.
Barbara, you still have that hand sanitizer in your purse? Maybe we could pass it around.
Hello. I got a few of them. The Lord always provides. He always does. There's never a time where he never provides. As a lot of you may know, I'm going back a few years because this testimony is taken a few years. I haven't had a legal status here in the United States. I couldn't work. As you know, I have a daughter, and so I couldn't work. I couldn't support. I was living on $20 a month type of thing is what my mom could send me and stuff like that. That's how I was living on. But God made a way for me to start working through the, I'm not going to get political, but through the DACA program. God made a way to, because it's expensive, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. God made a way for me to be able to afford that. And then start working. And then, so I started working at the Good Way Cafe. It's just as a chef, dishwasher type thing. I don't remember how long I was there. This is with Nina's dad, if you guys don't know, Tom. He gave me a great opportunity. But then I got an opportunity to go into Joe Carlson, where I got to work with many special needs students with special ed. But then they moved me. This is kind of funny because I was working there, and they came up to me and moved me to Huber, and they doubled my pay. I didn't ask for it. They just moved me. They told me, hey, you're needed at Huber. Do you want to go? And I told them, I'll go where I'm needed. That's what I always told them every time they moved me. So they moved me to Huber, and they doubled my rate, my pay. Then at Huber, the principal and Eric, if you guys remember Eric worked at the school. They put in my name to go work at IT at the high school with CTE. I didn't ask for it, but they came up to me and said, "Hey, Peter, we think you would be perfect for this." Both of them, not just Eric, but also his name is Mr. Long, was the principal at the time. And they both came up to me, and when I went to the job, I didn't even have to really interview. They just talked to me, and they said I had the job. We were just talking. And so then I got that job. And again, my pay doubled from the last one. Yeah, I'm just, if God, I'm not going to ask for it, but if you keep, and so now I'm to a point where I can support my wife and my child. And I'm working now towards the residency, which will be coming, I believe, this year. That's the first one. God always provides, even when it didn't look like there was a way. If you looked at my situation, it never looked like there was a way. But God made a way. Yes. Now the other one is a little bit more funny. If you guys noticed, I've already been a year that I've had this nice guitar. Yeah. It went really fast. But before that guitar, I had another guitar. It was my baby. It was the guitar I learned how to lead worship, where I learned basically everything. And all of a sudden, I had the burden that I couldn't play it anymore. And I couldn't play it. Well, and I was like, then God told me, give it to this kid. Give it to him. And I was like, oh, but I'm sure I can make some money off of it. But God's like, just give it to him. And then until one time, I was like, you know, I can't play this guitar anymore. And so I went and I gave the guitar to this kid. Oh, that kid doesn't stop playing it. He plays it at school all the time. He takes it everywhere. It's really, really funny, and it's joyful for me because it's really blessing to me that I gave it to him, and he uses it for the same thing that I used it for worship. And then God, not even a week, God provided for that guitar. That guitar is worth about 5-6 times as much as the last one I had. But I didn't play nowhere near that much. God just provided. The person that sold it to me brought it way down, and God provided those funds. It was God. It had to be God in order for it to be provided. So whenever you feel like you're in stuck, that there's no way, I think that seems to be a recurring theme about God providing. So, I'm going back a little bit now. Sorry, didn't write notes. So, if I go back to everything, even when all I had was $20, I tithe. I always tithe, and I'm pretty sure you guys have record, and you could ask them. I always tithe, and always, even when I didn't have what you would call enough, I tithe. And when you do that, when you show to God that you're willing to sacrifice, He's willing to provide. And so I just encourage all of you guys to give. Just give whatever you can, whatever God puts in your heart to give. If you really don't have an income, you have time. Because if you don't have an income, you don't have a job, but you don't have a job, that means you have time. Right? It was a little joke, but it's kind of true. So just you guys, we all have something that we can give. So let's be willing to give.
Amen. We're exalting Jesus by giving praise and testimony to what he's doing in our lives. Come on, be brave. Be bold. Someone went, whew. He came back up. Now I'm just going to stand here with you when you come up. Be brave. Exalting Jesus, receiving miracles. Peter mentioned giving and tithing, and this is a good opportunity for me to say thank you. Thank you, each and every one who give and who tithe. Last night we had the honor of, as Nina shared, about going to Agua Prieta last night to Pastor Jose's church. They're celebrating their 35 years as a church, and we're real happy about being a part of that because we met them 32 years ago, and we celebrate 32 years of being in supportive of their work there. And before we started Faith Ministries Church here, Barbara and I's our home church, and our membership still is with Pastor Jose across the line. We're actually members of a church in Agua Prieta. And his church in Agua Prieta is the mother church of this one. He helped us start this church. We're like a missions church of him in the spiritual sense. And you think of churches on this side starting churches in Mexico. Well, he was a Mexican church who helped start this church. And still keeps his blessing on it. But anyway, one of the last times that we were there, before we started having services here, I was operating there as a deacon. And we were just getting ready to start service one night, and Pastor Jose came and ran, and he grabbed me by the arm and says, come with me real fast. Come outside. I got to show you something before you start service. And I'm going, we're already 15 minutes late. You know, come on, I just got to show you this. You know. And so we get outside, and he opens the front door and says, look. Yeah? No, look. What am I looking at? He said, there's cars. There must be a dozen cars here tonight. He said, remember when we started this ministry, nobody had cars? He said, we've been teaching them to give. We've taught the poor to give, and now they're not so poor anymore, and they're all buying cars. And they're bringing people to church, and people are getting saved, and the church is growing. Well, here we are 35 years later, and we got there early and got a parking place, but when we got ready to leave, it was a traffic jam. Huh? It was a traffic jam, wasn't it, on about four streets. Because, you know, 500-600 people bring a lot of cars. And I was reminded of that happened 20 years ago. Last night when I looked at all the cars, it's like, he's still teaching them to give. They're still prospering, buying cars and bringing people to church. You can't outgive God. When you give into God's kingdom and into his work, he is glorified. He is exalted. He is magnified. His kingdom grows. His family grows. And if you want to make a daddy happy, grow his family. And Daddy God is happy when he sees his family grow. And giving is all part of that. When you give and your tithe and your offering, when you give to the work here, we put it 100% into the kingdom of God, into the work of the ministry. I don't buy any gold faucets for my house. No, I really don't. We just, you know, give glory to God. And we want to thank you for your giving. Your giving is the right thing to do. And I was looking at giving. I was doing a lesson on giving and making notes for a lesson for later teaching. And I got to looking back in the Old Testament. And there's a number of places in the Old Testament where the most acceptable offering to the Lord was those that were brought willingly. Now, like in Moses' day, Moses was like the Mormon church. They make you give 10%. The elders in the Mormon church will come and seat you if you didn't put money in. They come to your house tomorrow if you didn't put money in today. Yeah. Well, Moses was like that. But even in that day when giving was compulsory, a law, so to speak, the offerings that God appreciated were the ones that people brought willingly. And he made wonderful comments about that. He appreciates our willing heart to give. Amen? You know, I can beg for a kiss and beg for a kiss and beg for a kiss and beg for a kiss. And she'll finally give anything. He's going to beg all day if I don't give him a kiss. Well, that's one way to get a kiss, right? Or I can just be a nice guy, and she comes up to me and gives me a kiss voluntarily. Now, that's a kiss. And when you give your money voluntarily without somebody twisting your arm, that's a kiss on God's cheek. Amen? So thank you for your giving. I want to look at another scripture. In Psalms 1846. 1846 was even before I was born. We're talking about exalting the Lord. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. And let the God of my salvation what? Oh, we're back. That's still back in Samuel, isn't it? Well, we're in Psalms 1846. Let the God of my salvation be exalted. Who's the God of your salvation? Huh? Who is he? Is Jesus the God of your salvation? Let him be exalted. Tell the world Jesus is on your side. Tell the world that he's cool. Tell the world that he's a nice guy. Tell the world you need Jesus because he'll fix it. Jesus will carry you. He'll help you. He'll guard you. He'll guide you. Tell the world. Exalt the Lord. Back in 2 Samuel 22. Now, 2 Samuel 22 is right after 2 Samuel 21. And the verse number is 22:47. The Lord lives. In Mexico, it's real common around the churches there. You'll hear them say, ¿Quién vive? Who lives? Jesus lives, amen? Well, that's what the word says here. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Talk about Jesus, he's my rock. Talk about Jesus, he's my rock. Talk about Jesus, he's my rock. And I know he lives within me. And I know he walks beside me. He's my rock. He's my rock. He's my rock. You like that? I'll sing another one. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. Go tell the world that Jesus is the rock of your salvation. Go tell the world he's the rock that's firm, where you're firmly standing. Let God be exalted. You know what Jesus said about rocks? To say, yeah. I guess you should say, tell me. Jesus said, if you don't exalt me, and most of your translations say, if you don't praise me. Now, this is the word. I don't have the scripture written down for it, but believe me, this is in the Bible, okay? He says, if you don't praise me, if you don't exalt me, the rocks are going to cry out. Well, I don't want any rock taking my place in praising the Lord. If exalting the Lord is that powerful and that important, that if we don't exalt him, the very rocks of the earth would cry out. Exalting the Lord must be very, very important to God. Amen? In 1 Chronicles 29:11, let's look what the, most of you probably already know what that says because I have quoted it time and time again in starting services. It's one of my favorite service starters. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and all that is in the earth. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you, Lord, are exalted as head over all. You can't get any higher than the Lord. In fact, the Father gave the Lord Jesus the name that's above all names. You can't get a higher name than Jesus. And it's not, it's more than just J-E-S-U-S in English or Spanish. His name denotes his authority, his position of authority. His name denotes his office. His name denotes his personality. His name denotes who his Father calls him. His name denotes the name that was chosen by the Father to use. He could have called him Mitch. If you're going to find it, pray to Mitch. He could have called him Ramon. Huh? He could have called him Leo. No, he chose to call him Jesus, and he said, I'm going to put this name above all of them. Now, some of you religious folks that don't like the way we worship, you start talking about exalting Jesus and the name above all names, and they say, oh, well, there's a lot of people out there named Jesus. Every other guy in Mexico is named Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is all over the world. But there's only one Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, Son of the living God. Only one. And he is the Jesus we exalt. He is the Jesus we magnify. He is the Jesus we praise. Please stand to your feet. I want to thank all of you who shared with us today and helped us in this little sermon. All of you who exalted the Lord this morning with your own personal testimony. And I just encourage each and every one of you, even if you didn't come up here this morning, you'll still have opportunity today or tomorrow with someone that crosses your path, you're going to have opportunity to exalt the Lord. That'll be your cue. You're going to be talking to someone, you're going to be meeting someone in your path. And there's this little voice on the inside of you that's going to say, this is a good time to exalt the Lord. This is going to be a good time to give testimony to what God's done in your life. This will be a good time to introduce this person to prayer. This will be a good time to introduce this person to Jesus. And so everyone, even those that didn't come up here this morning, I believe in the next few hours, in the next few days, we're all going to be exalting Jesus. And remember our theme, exalting Jesus, receiving miracles. I really believe exalting Jesus actually qualifies us for miracles, opens the door for miracles. And as you exalt Jesus, and then as the Holy Spirit reminds you of the miracle you need, just begin to lay hold of it by faith. Begin to speak that miracle over your life and into your life in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've lifted you up. We've exalted you. We've magnified your name. Lord, we're ready for the miracles that you want to do. We open our hearts, open our lives to the miracles that you want to do in our lives. Lord, you have miracles planned for us. You have miracles, miracle answers planned for our questions. Miracle solutions planned for our problems. And Lord, we just open our hearts and lives to the miracles that you want to do. And Lord, as we remember to exalt your name, we will also remember that you want to do miracles in our life. And so here we are, Lord. Here I am. Here I am. In your own way, just begin to thank him right now. In your own personal way, just begin to thank him. The fact that you have breath and life and an opportunity to exalt him. The fact that you're here this morning. You are blessed of the Lord. Give thanks for that. Exalt the Lord with thanksgiving that you get to be here this morning. As you go forth this week and as you meet people that need a church, invite them here. As you meet people that come and maybe they haven't been here in a while, remind them that we care about them and that we pray for them. Remind them that it's good to be in church. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I got something that's not real spiritual, okay? This is just wisdom from experience. You know, I've lived long enough to have some experience. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this. You need to know how not to share Jesus. This is what you don't do. Don't share Jesus like this, okay? I'm in McDonald's this morning. I order a burrito and a cup of coffee. And I'm standing next in line to another brother in the Lord. And we're both waiting for our order to come. And he gets my attention, you know, kind of nudges me. And he says, so what do you think about Trump and all this stuff that's going on? Do I have to go into this now? I'm just getting ready to enjoy my coffee. I just wanted to turn and run. And I said, well, I think we just need to keep praying. Keep praying for Mr. Trump and our government. And then he went into this very legalistic Bible prophecy. And started connecting it to the political scene. He took all my desire and appetite away for coffee, burritos. I didn't even want to talk about the Lord in front of this guy because of the way he legalized it in religiosity. That's not the way to win friends and influence neighbors for Jesus. That's not the way to testify and exalt the Lord. Use a different format. Don't turn people off. Turn people on with the love of God and the goodness of God and the blessing of the Lord and what He's done in your life and what He can do in their life. Turn them on with some good news. Now, this man meant well. He was trying to be a good whatever. But there's a way to approach people and there's a way not to approach. Turn them on for Jesus by exalting His name and His goodness. Amen? Well, give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss and go out there and exalt Jesus for the rest of the week. Thank you for being in this service.